The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, among other things, to our Heavenly Father with these words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The mystery of God's will. It's a big subject. There's no way that I could even attempt to cover it in one service. But we look at some aspects of it. The mystery of God's will. Was it God's will to send COVID? Was it God's will that it should be manufactured or released by accident or deliberately or whatever? Was that God's will? Was Dr. Fauci involved in gain of function? Was that God's will? We could ask such questions and puzzle over them from now to the end of time, and we probably wouldn't get at least a clear answer. And there may be things that have happened in your life, and you wonder, was it God's will? Many years ago, my wife Hazel got a job in a Christian organisation in Belfast. And there was a lady who applied for the job, for another job within that particular organisation. She was a very nice Christian lady. But we found out later she did have some rather strange views. But she was, I believe, a person who loved the Lord. And she got the job. And one day I was speaking to her and I said, how did you know about the job? She said, God told me. She said, I saw an advertisement, but God told me I was to apply. It was God's will for me to have that job. And I asked her, well, how did you know it was God's will for you to have that job? She said, I had a dream. I dreamt that there was this winding road, and on the road, the whole way up the road, there were large boulders, rocks, and stones. And at the end of the road, there was the particular headquarters of the organization. And she said, I believe then, I knew then, that God was saying to me, don't worry about the obstacles, don't worry about the boulders and the rocks and the stones, you keep on up the road, because that's my will for you. And so she got the job. That was okay. But, as my mother would have said, two or three wet days later, I think it was a bit longer than two or three wet days, but a few weeks later, I was speaking to her again. And she said, I've decided that I made a mistake. This job isn't for me, and it wasn't God's will. And I said, but you told me that you had this dream, and that you were convinced that it was of God, and that he was leading you to this job. And so, she said, but you see, I interpreted the dream incorrectly. Now, I'm not mocking the lady. She was very sincere, and she was a lovely Christian lady. But she said, I interpreted the dream incorrectly. She said, what I should have understood was that the rocks and the boulders were all on the road to prevent me from going to the job. Well, you could go quietly crazy if that was the approach you took to God's will in your life. Because one moment you'd be doing it, you would think. The next moment you would think you'd got it wrong. It would just be a bit of a nightmare, wouldn't it? So what does our Saviour mean when he speaks about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? What does he mean by this? Well, let's think, first of all, that God does have a will. He's not a force. He's not a machine. He is a person. And he has a will. God wills, for example, that things take place in Genesis chapter 1. And he speaks. God willed, if you like, creation into being. God said, let there be such and such a thing. And it was so. Let there be light. And there was light. Now, theologians sometimes say there And they're being helpful in this, I'm not criticising this at all, but they sometimes say there is God's revealed will and God's hidden will. And people can find that helpful as they try to think through some of the issues. And indeed, there are others, and they add to that a third category when they think of the book of Job, for example, of God's permissive will. But we mustn't push that too far. It can be helpful, yes, I believe it can, but we mustn't push it too far. It is God's revealed will that we, for example, that we spend our time on earth well and wisely. And he reveals that to us in the Bible. The books of wisdom in the Bible are there, such as Proverbs, for example, are there to help us live wisely. And God reveals that. He reveals all sorts of things with regard to his will in the Scriptures. But, on the other hand, none of us as individuals know how long God will give us on this earth. We know that while we're on it, we're to live wisely, for that's what God teaches. But we don't know how long we're going to live, because God doesn't reveal that. But we mustn't, as I say, push that idea of God's revealed will and God's hidden will. That can be helpful, but we mustn't push it to the extremes. Because what happens then is that we might begin to imagine, well, God must have two wills. His revealed will and his hidden will. So he must have two wills. And that would make him into like a type of schizophrenic. But in a strict sense, we could say that God has only one will. Aspects of that will are revealed to us in the Scriptures. Aspects of that will are not revealed to us. Some things we know, many things we don't know. And I want to suggest to you, we should rest content with that. Knowing that our Heavenly Father is with us. We have his will revealed in Scripture. There are other aspects of his will, such as I've said, how long we're here on earth, not revealed to us. We should be content. We are in his hands, and his will is perfect. Don't torture yourself, in other words, Christian people. Don't torture yourself over things you don't know. At a very tragic circumstance in one of my congregations, when a man who made a very clear profession of faith in the Saviour took his own life. And his family, you can only begin to imagine, his family were distraught because they were Christian folk as well. And they had all sorts of questions about how could this have happened? Was this God's will? And so on. And I took the line with them, and I trust it was helpful, the line that we're not to torture ourselves concerning unknown things. What good does it do? It doesn't get us anywhere. God has a will. His will is perfect. And his will for you and for me is perfect. Doesn't mean it's always easy. He sometimes expects us to go through very, very difficult things. But nevertheless, his will is perfect. Our Heavenly Father's love for his people is an eternal love. He has loved us in Christ, the Bible says, from before the foundation of the world. Think about that. There are Christians who struggle, for example, with the subject of assurance of salvation. Now, I'm not going into all that tonight. But the point I want to make is this. Our Heavenly Father knows us perfectly. He knows all about us. He knows those times we have our fears. He knows those times when we may doubt. We may not doubt him, but we're doubting ourselves. He knows all of that. He knows those times when we are troubled because a loved one is ill, or we're troubled because a loved one is taken from us, and we wonder why. He understands that. He knows that. His will is perfect. So rest content in your Saviour. Give yourself into His hands, knowing that He will do all that's necessary for you. In fact, He has already done all that's necessary in terms of salvation through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus on the cross. As an old lady said to me one time, she said, "You know, I used to sometimes doubt whether God really loved me." And then my minister in a sermon said, "If you ever doubt that God really loves you, look at the cross. Look at the cross. That's the evidence that He loves you." So God has a will, perfect will. Secondly, God's will is done in heaven. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," as it is done in heaven. So heaven is a place where the will of God is done. It never fails, because heaven is a perfect place. And God is a king. His throne is in heaven. He rules from there. So clearly, the will of the King of Kings will be done in heaven. His angels do His bidding. His glorified saints never disobey, for there is no sin there. Do you ever struggle with sin? Do you ever struggle with temptation and then with sin? Do you ever sometimes wish you could just sort of get away from the temptation? Well, one day you will if you're a believer. One day in heaven, you will have done with sin and there'll be no more temptation. But you know, even in heaven, there are some aspects of God's will that are not revealed. I think sometimes us Christians, we may have the idea that, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll know everything. But the Bible doesn't say that. If we knew everything, we would become God. We would be like God, literally becoming God, if we knew absolutely everything. There are aspects of God's will, even in heaven, that are not revealed. They remain hidden. The Lord Jesus explained this Himself in Mark chapter 13. You can read it when you go home. And particularly verse 32, where the Lord Jesus said that even the angels in heaven don't know when He will return the second time. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul also shows us that when we as believers get to heaven, I mean, our knowledge is going to be vastly increased. We see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face. But that doesn't mean we know everything as God knows it. We will still be His creatures. And so there are aspects of the will of God that are deep mysteries, even to the angels. And so we have to accept that there are things about our God we don't know. We cannot fully understand. And there are things about His will, particularly while we're here on earth, that we don't fully understand or know. But thirdly, God's will should be done on earth. That's what we're to pray for. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if God's will is perfectly done in heaven, and we're to pray that God's will be done on earth, is the Saviour saying that God somehow or another needs our prayers to get things done? That He even needs our help to get His hidden will, if I could use that phrase, that He needs our help to get His hidden will accomplished? Surely not. The Lord Jesus also taught that God is the ruler of all the earth. He is the king of all the earth. He's sovereign. It is God, for example, who gives the animals their food. It is God who gives people salvation. It is God who permitted, if we go into the what it was referring to as the permissive will of God, it is God who permitted COVID. The reason? It's not revealed to us. We don't know. God is in charge, as we might put it, of everything that happens. Was it a judgment on the nations? It may be. And so when the Lord Jesus urges us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," he's referring to God's will as revealed in his word. He's not expecting us to pray for things that we don't understand. But he is expecting us to pray about things we can know about, we can understand at least partially. And he's expecting us to pray that we will be conformed to God's word. We're to do his will. What is the will of God? The will of God is that we do his commandments. That is the will of God. God says we should turn from our sins. We should trust by faith in his Son. To do that is to do God's will. That's what God wills. That's what God desires. And God wills, God wants, God desires that we live for him and conform to his word. That is doing God's will. Some people may say, but is it God's hidden will for me to do that? Or to put that question in another way, am I one of the elect? Because if I'm not one of the elect, then it wouldn't be God's will for me to be saved. So how could I be saved? I can remember on one occasion doing some door-to-door work, and we met a chap on one of the doors who said that very thing to us. An older elder in the cell. But how can I know that I'm one of God's elect? And the other elder, who was a very wise man, said to him, said, by the way, not in a harsh way, but in a very winsome way, he said, "My friend, are you one of God's elect? You're wondering whether you're one of God's elect. You're wondering whether it's God's will for you to be a Christian. That's none of your business. Or mine," the elder said. That's God's business. And God commands you to repent and believe the gospel. I couldn't have thought of that, Billy, in a month. You know, one of these elders that just was down the earth and quick thinking and was brilliant on the doors. I admit that I never felt that brilliant on the doors. But he was brilliant and thought of an answer for everything. And said it with a big smile on his face on another occasion. This is slightly off topic maybe, but on another occasion we were doing door-to-door work, and this chap opened his front door. He was a huge guy, absolutely huge, and he had a can of lager in his hand and a sort of a scowl on his face. We got talking to him later. Turned out that Jehovah's Witnesses had been around, and he was just fed up, I think. But he's standing there with a sort of scowl on his face, this big man, and holding this can of lager. And, "Well, what do you want? What do you two want?" And this elder just said to him, now, I don't know how he got away with it. I thought we were going to get punched. The elder said to him, "My friend, we're here to tell you that if you don't repent and accept Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you're going to hell." And I said, "That's true, of course." But I thought, well, we're in trouble now. "Do you know that big man said his calm down?" And he said, "Tell me more about that." Wasn't that amazing? And so we did, of course. Well, God's will. We can get so tied up in the intricacies of it, as the first chap did, and ask questions that can't be answered. The only way, of course, he could know is if he comes to the Saviour and receives Christ. Then he may conclude on good grounds that, yes, he is one of God's elect. But that's another subject. I sometimes think that our Heavenly Father's will, partly revealed, partly hidden, is a wee bit like parents with a child. Now, I know that this is a human illustration, and you can never sort of just simply take a human illustration and apply it to the Almighty. But maybe it will help some of them. It's a bit like an earthly father who says to his child, "It's your birthday tomorrow, and your mum and I are going to give you a very special surprise." And the child, of course, all excited, says, "What is it? What is it? Tell me, what is it?" And the father says, "Well, if I told you now, it wouldn't be a surprise. You're just going to have to wait and see tomorrow on your birthday." So you see, in a sense, these parents have revealed something of their will to the child, but not everything. Part of their will is hidden until tomorrow. Then the next day comes along, and they all get into the car, and at a certain point, Mum says to the child, "Okay, close your eyes and keep them closed until I tell you to open them." And when the child is told to open its eyes, what does it see? Aldergrove Airport. "Why are we here?" the child says. And the parents say, "Well, we're going to Disney Paris." Don't know if you've ever been to Disney Paris. Maybe it wouldn't be your particular thing or mine. But for a child, wow. "We're going to Disney Paris." Well, in a way, and I mean no irreverence, in a way that's a bit like our Heavenly Father. He tells us an awful lot in the Scriptures about his revealed will for us. But for his own good reasons, he keeps some things to himself. But one day, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to get a fantastic surprise that puts Disney in the shade. A wonderful surprise. And you're going to understand in an even better and deeper and greater way the will of God and why he saved you and why he loved you with an everlasting love. The Apostle Paul put it this way when he talked about that great surprise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. He explained that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's one of the most remarkable verses in the Bible. And it's so easy to skip over it. I try not to repeat myself too much. But let me repeat that verse. It's worth repeating over and over. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. What a surprise we're going to get one day. We will be astonished beyond measure. We will be amazed at what God has done, and equally amazed at why he did it. He has saved us by his grace. Why did he do that? What a surprise awaits us. So, keep that in mind. The next time you're discouraged, the next time you're down as a believer, the next time life is hard, and the next time you feel that all is blackness and darkness, the Lord has a surprise waiting for you. Let's come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the wonderful riches and treasures of your holy word. We could read the Bible for decades and still find that it has jewels that sparkle, gems of wonder. We give thanks, O Lord, for the word of God that has sustained the people of God in dark and difficult days, that sustained our forefathers, that helped them and their wives and children in dark days. And we pray, Father, that you will sustain your people here too. Encourage each of us by the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and really blessing it to us. And Father, if there should be one person here tonight who is not yet in Christ, we pray that the Spirit would speak to that person, that they too would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Saviour, and be able to look forward to that big surprise in heaven. We give thanks, O Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Accept our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.